Okay, as always, the Torah should be Lilinish Master of Geshem, Mirabari Leib. This week, Parshas Toldos, a fascinating parsha revolving around Yitzhak Avinu. It's fascinating to note that Yitzhak Avinu, in whose chus we, Klal Yisrael, have survived, meaning there are things that the main nekudas that each of the others were famous for. Avraham Avinu was famous for Emunah and for Chesed. Yaakov Avinu was famous for Torah. Yitzhak Avinu was famous for Mesiras Nefesh. And that's really what's been the mainstay. Mesiras Nefesh and Torah have been the mainstay of Klal Yisrael throughout the Doros. Yet we find the Torah devotes very, very little to telling us about the life of Yitzhak Avinu. And this parasha is really condensed into this parasha, aside from the story of the Akedah, is Yitzhak Avinu. And we're told at the beginning of this parasha very little about him, but mainly about his children. And the Torah tells us at the beginning of the parasha where Yitzhak and Rivka, they davened, and their tefillahs were answered. And Rivka then went through this very difficult pregnancy. And she said, "Imkein lama ze anoichi," and she went, "Vatelech lidrash es Hashem." And she was told about Shnei Goyim Bevitneich, Shnei Le'umim, Mimayich Yiparidu, Le'umim, Le'umim Yemot, Varav Yavet. Sorry, she was told about the history of the world that was going to be fashioned out of these two children that were inside her. They would become eventually the nemesis of one another. And most of world history has revolved around the descendants of Yaakov and Esau. She was told the Ikaprotim, Shnei Goyim Bevitneich, they're going to be game. There'll be two kingdoms, one kingdom will take strength from the other. In other words, when one rises, the other one falls. When one falls, the other one rises. And this is what she was told about the children that she was going to have. And if we look at this feud, this historical feud between Yaakov and Esav, that has continued and continued and continued, whether it was Esav and Yaakov themselves, whether it was Amalek versus Klal Yisrael later on, who are descendants of Esav, whether it was the tormentors throughout this long galus that we've been in now, there's been one underlying theme that has been the vikuach and has been, so to speak, the annoyance of the nations of the world, and that is that we, Klal Yisrael, live for Olam Haba. We don't live for Olam Hazeh. And that was right from the beginning when she was told, when she felt, to Abanim Bekirba, Rashi tells us, as we know from Reb Tzadok HaKohen, you always look in the Torah for the first time something's mentioned, it tells us about the essence of that thing. She says that the Gemara in Brocha says, if a person has a dream and they see the letter Tes, they should be Metzapeh L'Toiv. Why? Because the first time the letter Tes appears in the Torah is by the word Toiv. So you see, the first time something appears in the Torah tells you about its essence. Here, Yaakov and Esav appear for the first time as they're at their inception. As they're being incubated inside their mother, we're told that, says Rashi, Vayisroitetsu, what does this Ritzitza mean? One of the Pshatim is, Shota Misroitetsim Zeim Zeh Umerivim Benachalas Shnei Oilomis. Right from the start, there was a feud between them about who's going to get Olam Hazeh and who's going to get Olam Haba. And that feud hasn't finished, hasn't stopped, and it still continues. And the annoyance of Amalek about the fact that we got Torah, and that was that we went to Sinai and Sinai Yarad Olam, and that we have Olam Haba. The truth is, that's the continuation of the parasha as well, where Yaakov has Esav come into him on the day that Avraham Avinu is Nifta, and Yaakov says to him, "Sal miyo b'chayra." What does he want from him? He wants Ruchnias. He wants Olam Haba. What does Esav say? "Lama zeli b'chayra. Anyway, ben kach, I'm going lamus. Anyway, there's too much to be worried about. Again, I'm not interested in Olam Haba." And that's what Rivka wanted to ensure, that the brachas that were given out at the end of the parasha by Yitzhak Avinu, which were primarily brachas to ensure that one can accumulate enough mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim in this world to get Olam Haba, that was given to Klal Yisrael and given to us. In the town of Slutsk, there was a doctor who unfortunately had deserted the Yiddishkeit that he had been taught. And he became quite antagonistic towards Shomer Torah and Mitzvahs. And one day, he went on a Thursday afternoon, he walked into the butcher shop, the butcher of Slutsk. And you can imagine Thursday afternoon, the butcher of Slutsk, teeming with people coming to buy their meat and their chicken for Shabbos. And it was full of the women of Slutsk, some of the men of Slutsk, all there ready to, waiting in line to buy their food. And the doctor walked by, and he saw this, the packed butchers. And to his amazement, at one point, the butcher makes an announcement, "Everyone out!" And everyone calmly, as if it was a routine action that was done sort of day by day. Everyone files out of the shop as if it's dead normal, still continues talking to one another. There's nothing's changed. And they've gone out of the shop. The butcher goes to his front door of his shop, locks up and starts to walk away. So the doctor says to him, what are you doing, Shugana? You've got all these customers here. This is your busiest day of the week. Everyone's coming to buy things for Shabbos. You're walking off. Where are you going? So he says, look, the customers all know. I've got Mincha. And then I've got a little Shia. And then I've got Maariv. And then I'm coming back. So whoever was there able to be served before I go daven gets served. Otherwise they wait in line. They know in half an hour I'm back. 40 minutes I'm back. And they can carry and continue buying. He says, what do you mean? Are you crazy? You're going to lose some customers. And if you do this, people are going to get despondent. They're going to get, they're going to start leaving you. So he says, what do you mean? I don't live to sell my meat. I live for Olam Haba. That's what I'm living for. I'm not living for Olam Hazeh. That's my pranasa. But I got to worry about my Olam Haba. So I'm going to go and daven. I'm going to go and learn. So the doctor says to him, really? You worried about Olam Haba? He said, really? I'll sell you my Olam Haba. So the butcher stops in his tracks. He says, really? How much are you selling it for? He says, I'll sell it for a ruble. He says, no problem. Pulls a ruble out of his pocket, gives it to the doctor, and he continues off to Mincha Maariv. Years later, a respectable looking woman comes into the butcher shop with no intention of buying any meat. Walks over to the butcher and says, I need to speak to you. She says, my husband, the doctor, as you know, passed away recently, and he came to me in a dream. And he related how when he had come up in front of Beis Shamala, they replayed to him his entire life. And he recognized everything. And he had accumulated many, many, many averus. And they said to him, listen, that's it, you're sealed to being condemned to the Gehenna for all those averus that you did. And they were about to lead him away, and he screamed out, hey, one minute. Where are my mitzvahs? I looked after loads of Klal Yisrael. I gave them remedies. I looked after them. Where's that? They said, we're sorry. There's plenty of that. But you sold it. You sold it to the butcher. You gave it away. It doesn't belong to you anymore. So it's not showing on your cheshbon. He said, well, what do you mean? You can't sell all of that for a ruble. It's not worth a ruble. So you sold it. You gave it away. It's gone. He says, but it was a mekach tos. He says to his wife, please go back to that butcher and buy back my Olam Haba. So she says to the butcher, I've come here, here's the ruble, can I buy his Olam Haba back from you? The butcher says, first of all, it's not for sale. But after I see how choshev it is that he's come back to you in a dream and telling you that he wants it back, I'm certainly not sending it back to you. And certainly not for a ruble. Not a chance. She says, but he can't get Olam Haba. What do you mean? He's come to me in a dream a number of times. He says, nothing doing. That was it. He sold it. That was my deal, a deal of a lifetime. I'm not giving it away. So, she went to the Rav, the Radvaz, and she walked into the Beis Din. The Radvaz was sitting there with his Dayanim. And you can imagine all the other people who are draying around the Beis Din are listening, and there's this fascinating story that's being told. And the Radvaz listens. He says to the woman, okay, we're going to have a din Torah about this. And he gives a set date for when and time for when the din Torah is going to take place. But he says, I don't want that din Torah taking place here in this Beis Din. I want it taking place in the main Beis HaKnesses of Slutsk. And you can imagine, word got out pretty quick in the streets of Slutsk. Everyone heard about this. The doctor who's come back to his wife in a dream, and the butcher doesn't want to send him back. He's Olam Haba. And the Radvaz has said, we're convening the Din Torah about this, not in the Beis Din, but in the Beis HaKnesses, our God of Slutsk. So came the designated time, and it was packed to the rafters. Packed. Anoshim, everyone came to view this, which is what the Radvaz had wanted. Everyone came to view this Din Torah. And he asked for the almana of the doctor to get up, and she relates what had happened, what her husband told her in the dream, the events that took place, the ridiculing of the butcher that had happened during his lifetime, the sale of his Olam Haba, but he wants to buy it back. He turns to the butcher and he says, what do you have to say? The butcher says, that's a deal's a deal. And that, who could have made a better deal than the deal I made? I'm not selling it. It's not for sale. I'm not machuyev to give it back. It's not for sale. You can imagine the tumbling and the bustle and the noise that there was reverberating around the Beis HaKnesses as the Dayanim sat together with the Radvaz, tumbling over what the Psak Din should be. And after a bit of time, the Radvaz motions for silence. And he says, I have a psak, and the psak's in three parts. There's three parts to this psak. The first sniff of this, of the psak is, you cannot buy Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, with currency of Olam Hazeh. It doesn't buy Olam Haba. Olam Haba is worth far more than the currency that we have. And therefore the sale of that Olam Haba is null and void. Never took place. Sniff base, he says, Olam Haba is only given to someone who believed and appreciated in Olam Haba. And since this doctor ridiculed Olam Haba, and therefore, he was kofir in Olam Haba, he doesn't have any Olam Haba either. So the sale of his Olam Haba is null and void, but he doesn't get any of his Olam Haba because he didn't believe in it. But there's a third sniff to this psak, and that is, since we all here today have been infused with a tremendous chizuk in our emunah, in our belief in Olam Haba, in our belief in Din V'Cheshbon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our emunah has been strengthened to the extent that the no one of us here is left with a doubt about the Din V'Cheshbon that there will be, that chizuk goes to the cheshbon of that doctor, resulting from the fact that he came to his wife in a dream and she's come and she's brought this Din Torah to Beis Din. And for that, the doctor deserves Olam Haba. For that, he gets some Olam Haba. There was a huge sigh of relief throughout the shul. And the Radvaz and his Dayanim got up to go, and the butcher ran after him and said, Rebbe, I'm an integral part of this Kiddush Hashem as well, and Chora, I shouldn't lose my Olam Haba from that. The story doesn't tell us what the response of the Radvaz was, or if there was one. But that was a clear example, and a story which brought to the realization of the inhabitants of Slutsk, for sure, that a Yid lives for Olam Haba. A Yid lives for Olam Haba, a Yid dies for Olam Haba, and that's the only thing a Yid wants. Because once we cannot do V'lameisim Chofshi, once we've left this world, we're Chofshi, we can't even do any more mitzvahs. And there's one thing that we'll want to do, if we were allowed to come back for one second, there's one thing we want to do, one thing and one thing only, another mitzvah. Accumulate another little bit of Olam Haba, which is worth more than all the hanois of Olam Hazeh. But that's what we live for, that's who we are. When a person comes to that realization, in the moment of truth, as that doctor finally did, but I need my Olam Haba. And that's what Yaakov Avinu taught us. Yaakov Avinu taught us that the whole, everything in life is worth what it is if it's leading us toward Olam Haba. He was fighting already as a fetus with Esav HaRasha because he was going to get Olam Haba. He got, as a 13 or a 15 year old boy, he got Esav to sell him his Bechorah. Why? Because I want to be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Avodah is with Bechorah. So I want to accumulate more Olam Haba. I want to have Olam Haba already in Olam Hazeh. And he listened to his mother to go and get those brachas because he understood from her that she had said, these are the brachas that will achieve Olam Haba for you and for the Doris. And that is what the Rishonim, the Esav HaRasha, they cannot bear about us. So he said before Rosh Hashanah, he said it was a beautiful story. It was told over by, I don't remember which tzaddik said it over. So there was a general who had fought many, many battles for the Tsar. Many battles for the Tsar. And he had battle scars all over his body. And eventually he was put into retirement. He was no longer to fight as a fierce warrior as he had been. He was put into retirement on a very good pension. And being a Russian on a good pension, you can imagine, he went to a tavern every night. And he got pretty hammered with his vodka. One night, he started to ridicule the king. He started to ridicule the Tsar. And because of what he had said and the high profile figure that he had been, word got back to the Tsar of what he had said. People were talking about it. And the Tsar said, listen, he's got to die. It's treason. What he has done, it equates to an act of treason. He's got to die. And I don't want to speak to him. Because if I have an audience with him, I may have Rachmanis on him. But he's got to die. And he was being taken to the gallows, and as is international convention, he was offered a last wish. He said, what's your last wish? He says, my last wish is that I have an audience with the Tsar. So they go to the Tsar and they say, listen, you can't deny this is the international convention and the most acceptable thing in the world, the last wish of a dying man, you give it to him. He wants an audience with you. He says, okay, tell him you can have an audience with me, but he's not allowed to say a word. The man agreed. And the general came in front of the Tsar and he stood there and he ripped open his clothes and he just showed all the battle scars on his body. And he began to cry. Look who I am. Look what I've suffered on myself for you. Without a doubt, there wasn't a question that the Tsar commuted his sentence. He said, we come in front of the Rabbeinu Shalom and we say, Rabbeinu Shalom, you know, there's one thing that the Goyim hate about us. That we believe in Hashem Echad. This pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which reverberates on the lips of every single Jew twice a day, and has been said by many, many a Yid throughout the Doros with Mesiras Nefesh. They cannot hack that. They cannot bear that, because that's our allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our yearning for Elam Haba. And therefore we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're coming in front of you and we've been battered. Kedalim uchoroshim dofaknu de lo secho. Like dalim and roshim, like poor and destitute people, we are in this galus because dofaknu, we've been battered, we've been hit de lo secho because of that dalad. Because we said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and not Acher. It's a big dalad that it shouldn't be mixed up with a resh. And that's what the Goyim cannot stand that about us. That's what we live for. We don't live for this world. We live for something that's abstract, that's not here, that we believe in something that's not physical. We believe in something that's not tangible. They can't see it. And therefore we know that seeing is believing, and we know it's much more than that. And they can't bear that because that's where this feud began. And that's what we live for. We live for our Olam Haba. Just as a continuation of that, later on in the parasha, Yaakov Avinu is given the brachos of V'yitin l'cho elekim mital ha'shamayim v'shmane ha'aretz. V'yitin l'cho, that pasuk, is one of the pasukim that we say on a Matzah Shabbos. And it's brought down by the Avudram, by the Kolboy, by the Tashbit. The inyan of saying these brachos on Matzah Shabbos, they're all pasukim of bracha and atzlocha and simon toiv for the coming week. And that's why we say them. There's a Zohar HaKadosh in his Akdama, where he says that when Shabbos goes out, and the tzibur say V'yitin l'cho, there's an Indian to say V'yitin l'cho when Shabbos goes out. And Reb Chaim Vital used to say in the name of the Arizal, his Rebbe, that he used to see every week after Havdalah, the Arizal would sit down and he would say V'yitin l'cho. Because it would infuse the week coming forward with bracha. And there's a beautiful explanation for this in the Likutei Mariach. He says himself, it's a thought that he has, and it's L'hagdil Torah L'adira. But this is what he says his thought is. He says, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kufi Tesom in base, where the Gemara says, the famous words of the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, Omer, there are two Malachi Asharis that accompany a person home every Friday night. And they come inside the house, and they see, and they look, and they find, Shabbo Lebeisoi, Umoitze, Ner Doilek, Veshulchon Oroch, Umita Mutzas, Malach Toiv Omer, Yirotzin Shetehe Leshabbos Acheres Kach. And if not, the Malach Ra says what he says, and the Malach Toiv has to say Amen Bal Korcho. So the Matan Moshe says the Likutei Mariach, the Matan Moshe says, who's the Malach Ra? It's the Samach Mem, it's the Yetzirah, it's the Satan. And he has to accompany the Malach Toiv, and he has to come and give a brocha, and he has to answer Amen to the Malach Toiv's brocha. The Magen Avraham and the Machzor Shekel in Arachaim Shem in Reish Samach Beis indicate, or even clearly say, that these Malachi Asharis do not go away. They stay there till the end of Shabbos. They stay there till the end of Shabbos. And on Matzah Shabbos, they go away. Says the Likutei Mariach, oh, I'll tell you a pshat in Seitz Chamishalim soon. Yeah, I'll tell you a pshat. It's a beautiful pshat. Says the Likutei Mariach, you know what, now you've asked it, I'll tell you the pshat. So we say to the Malachim, Tzeischem L'Shalom. Yeah. First of all, how can you do that to Malachim? Shalom Aleichem, Barachem L'Shalom, Baruchuni, Tzeischem. So there's a Medrash in Yeshaya that says that the Malachim have six wings. Can I get Baruch Shem, Kuvayit Malchusoy? Baruch Shem, Kuvayit Malchusoy, Le'olam Vo'ed. And with each of those wings, it says, B'sheish k'nofayim y'oifeif. So the Medrash in Yeshaya says, with each wing, with each konof, they sing Shira on each day of the week. Comes Shabbos, and the Malachi Asharis asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tein lonu konof echod, give us another wing, so that we can sing Shira on Shabbos as well. To which the Rabbeinu Shalom responded, Yesh li konof echod ba'aretz. I have my Klal Yisrael in the world, and today they are singing Shira for me. That comes Shabbos, we sing Shira, not the Malachim. When do we sing Shira? It's brought down by the Rishonim already in the Oz Zeruah, when he brings down in his Hakdama to Hilchos Shabbos, the whole Indian of singing Zmiras by the Sudas. You know, it's not just some that we sing Zmiras. Our Zmiras by the Sudas are in place or instead of, or more important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Shira of the Malachim. Because the Ebishter told the Malachim, I've got my Kali Sola singing Shira when they get together and they sit down and they have their Sudas and they sing Shira, that to me is more important than you, the Malachim, singing. And therefore we tell the Malachim, come inside, you can come in. You can give us a bracha. Oh, now we're about to have our meal and we're going to sing our Zmiras. For that you have to be Tzeis from the Shalom. And come back in after that again. But whilst we're singing Zmiras, the Rebbeinu Shalom wants it from Klal Yisrael, it's not for you. And that's the Tzeis from the Shalom. So going back over here, he says the Likutei Mariach, these Malachim come and they come in the beginning of Shabbos and they stay. They stay in our homes during Shabbos. And the Malach that gives bracha to our home remains in our home, which means the bracha remains in our home. And the Malach Ra is constantly answering Amen, Amen, Amen to that bracha that's being given in our home. And he only goes away on Motzei Shabbos. He says in next week's parashim, in 2 weeks' time's parashim, parashim Vayishlach, Yaakov Avinu has a feud with the Malach of Esav, the Samach Mem, that same Malach, who comes and has to Baal Korcha Yane Amen, he had that fight with Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu said to him, Shalchini ki ola ashachar. Yaakov Avinu said to him, no, I'm not going to say, lo ashalichacho ki im berachtoni. You can't go unless you give me a bracha. If you give me a bracha, then you can go. Says the Likutei Mariach, we tell the Malachim on Matzah Shabbos as well, you can go, but only once you've answered Amen to the bracha of Yitin Lecha. You can go, but we're going to say V'yitin Lecha Elokim. When we said V'yitin Lecha Elokim, which is our bracha from Yaakov Avinu, which is what the Samach Mem was maskim to Yaakov Avinu then, you wait till the end of Shabbos, and you give us a bracha, and you make that bracha then. You say Amen to that bracha then. They say that, I heard the name of Reb Naftali Miropshitz, he says, Yaakov Avinu came to Esav, and he said to him, Michra Kayoim Esbechoiros Choli. Sell me, we say it means like the clarity of day, Rashi says. That's the Pashto. Sell me like the clarity of day. He says, there's a Medrash Rabbins in our parasha which says, Yaakov Omar le Esav, Mecholi Yoim Echod Mishelcho. Sell me one, Michra Chayoim means, sell me one of your days. There's one of your days that I want you to sell me. Which day? What does the Medrash mean? What did he mean? What did Yaakov Avinu mean? Yaakov Avinu mean to tell Esav, sell me one of your days. So he says, there's a Yalkut Shimonim that says that when Yaakov and Esav were fetuses in their mother's stomach, in the womb of their mother, Yaakov Avinu said to Esau, he said, my brother, there are two olamos. It's olam hazeh and olam haba. In olam hazeh, yesh achila, yesh siya, yesh isha, yesh yelodim, yesh masa umaton. And olam haba, ein boi ha-mitzvahs halom. Doesn't include those mitzvahs. Olam haba is a whole different thing. Retoin chotoy la-toy es olam hazeh, v'ani yetol es olam haba. You make a choice. I'm happy to take olam haba. You take olam hazeh. Oysa shah, not al Esau, chelko b'olam hazeh, v'yaakov not al chelko b'olam haba. Yeah, it means Yaakov's been masking to take Olam Haba without Olam Hazeh, which he told him includes Achila, Shtia, Isha, Yelodim, Maso, Maton. What does he do when he comes to Shabbos? And Shabbos is a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos is Achila, Shtia. What does he do about that? Come on, Shabbos, Tafkuf Yerchetz, Chayev La'aneg Es HaShabbos. The person's got to be Maneg Es HaShabbos. So Yaakov Avinu came to Esau and he says, Michro Chayoim. So the Yaakov Shemini, sell me one of your days, sell me Shabbos. That's what he wanted off him then. I need to buy the Shabbos off you so that I can do Michra li, Mecholi yoim echon mishelcho, which is the Bechoir. Michra chayoim es Bechoiros choli. Sell me that day which is like the Bechoir for all days, because Shabbos is the Mekoir abrocha for all days of the week. It's like the Bechoir, where the brocha comes through that. And therefore he said to him, Michra chayoim. He says, chayoim is the Rosh HaTevis of Kulam yisbu'u v'yisangu mituvecho. All days of the week, Kulam yisbu'u v'yisangu mituvecho is kayoim, Rosh HaTevis kayoim. Sell me that day that day which is b'chayrascha, which I need in order that I should be able to do these mitzvahs of Ma'asim Tovim. So we tell the Malach Hara, you came to join. Now you stay. You stay here. You must come to us that we can have this day. That means you stay here and watch. And he has to come there and he has to watch. He has to see. He says, I want to come and see that you're taka keeping it. Says the Rabbi, so that's why Esav complained to Yitzchak Avinu. And he says to him at the end of the parasha, Hachikoro shemo Yaakov ha'yakveni zeh pa'amoyim. He's been ma'akav me two times. When he's been ma'akav me, he was ma'akav me now that I've got to come to his house Erev Shabbos and I've got to give him a brocha. And he's marking me to stay till the end of Shabbos and say a bracha again. I've got to stay there twice and answer the bracha. But that's an amazing thing. That means that from the beginning of Shabbos till the end of Shabbos, the malachim are with us. And then we know a dovah shal ruchni is a constant dovah of netzach netzachim. It means they walk in on Friday night and they say a bracha, u'bal korcha yane amen, and that remains through the whole of Shabbos. Which means that we've got to ensure that we know we've got the malachim of bracha with us. We've got the other malach who's forced to say amen. We don't want to let him have any taina that he shouldn't be able to say that. And then we want him to see that we're taka ma'aneg es ha-Shabbos. And we sing this mirrors and with all those things together. Time for one more vart, an amazing vart to the Shem Mishmul on this week's parish. The Shem Mishmul in Shnas Tofresh Ayin Hei. 104 years ago. He said there's a medrash in this week's parish about the Be'eras. Yitzchak Avinu went and he dug Be'eras, and the Be'eras that Avram Avinu had dug before him. The Shem Mishmul. So there's something fascinating here in the parasha. Rish Shoinim already speak about what was going on. They were digging wells. It was so important. And then Avimelech went and covered him up and they had tainas on him. Dig a well somewhere else. If you find water. What was the whole thing? He says, there's a medrash that says, Kamu Be'eros Chofar. How many Be'eros was he Chofar? So he said, Yitzchak Avinu, so Rabbi Yehuda says, Arbo, Keneged Kei Nasu Bonav Arbo, Degolim Bamidbor. There were four wells, and corresponding to those four wells, we got the four Degolim in the Midbar. Verabonon Amrinon and Chomesh, there were five wells, Keneged Chamisho Sifrei Torah. So he says an amazing thing from his father, the Abnei Nezer. He says, the Chovis Havavah says on the Pasuk, Mayim Amukim, Eitzo Belev Ish. Deep waters are Eitzo Belev Ish. The ish tevunos and a perceptive person, yidlena, will draw those waters out. And the Chovis HaMavah says, just like you have waters in the depth beneath the crust of the earth, you have waters just above the crust of the earth, beneath ground, you have waters that are there, they're there. And all it needs is for us to remove the covering and to be megale the waters that are there. So too, mayim amukim eitzah belev ish. The same thing is, we have the atzas Hashem inside our hearts. As we said, the Rabbeinu Shlomo, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chayei Olam, not HaBesoichinu. It's there, it's inside us. We just have to remove that which is blocks us and prevents us, and our Netiyos to Olam Hazeh, which prevents us from getting to that Mayim Amukim, but Ish Tevunos Yidlenu. In the same way that a perceptive person will remove, and said, therefore he said, the Avnei Nezer said, and that's what the Ovis were doing. The Obbas were showing us, they were showing their descendants and showing the world, you want to get to the Makor Mayim Chaim? This is how you do it. Remove the earth from on top. We do that in our nefesh, and we can do that in the world. And that's what the siman that they were showing. And he says he wants to add as well that the Ramban in the parasha, if you look by the Be'eras, the Ramban says the Be'eras correspond to the Bate Mikdosh. Some say it corresponds to Shiloh and the first base of Mikdash, second base of Mikdash, third base of Mikdash, where there were four, where there were five, exactly what, but they correspond to the Bati Mikdash. And again, because the Bati Mikdash were a Makoira Brocha, number one, so it's like the water that comes out of the ground. And secondly, the Bati Mikdash were a place where a person received the Shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Shefa of water, which is a constant flow of Shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too the base of Mikdash was. He says what the Obbas were worried is that when you have access to inspiration on a constant basis, it loses its inspiration, loses its feel. And Yitzhak Avinu was worried, the Obbas HaKadosh were worried that if we would have access to Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash the whole time, it would become common and it would lose its effect. And therefore he went and he dug the wells that it shouldn't just be water, it should be from a makor mayim chayim, a natural source of water, of a mayon, that is constantly refreshing itself with new water. It's not a stagnant well, it's not a collection of water, but it's replenished and refreshed and mischadish the whole time. That Klal Yisrael should have, that their makor of Kedusha and their connection with Kedusha should be refreshed and re-energized constantly.
Who said this?
The Shem Yishmur. And he says, that's the machlokes in the medrash, as to whether the wells that were dug, what their purpose was, is these two inyonim. The degolim in the base, in the midbar, what were the degolim for? The degolim were, there were signposts, that if a person went out of his encampment, that means he left his settlement, he left his oihel, and he went out, he always had his marker to remind him where he came from and where he was heading to. That was his degel. Where did Klal Yisrael get this thing of degolim from? The most famous medrash in Parashat Bamidbar, it says when they saw by Matan Torah, the Malachim coming, degolim, degolim. And Malachim means, degolim, degolim means connected and connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were dogul ba'ava, because they were, there's constant connection, there's nothing that's a mafsik between a Malach and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no goof, it's completely connected the whole time. And Klal Yisrael misava, we want degolim, we want to have something that's a constant reminder of our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, fine, you can have them. Where did we get this chus from? Rabbi Yehuda says, from these four wells. Because what was Yitzchak Avinu doing? He was showing us how to remove the Masach HaMavdil, how to remove the earth from covering over the water, how to remove the menias that are there that prevent us from getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is what the Degalim are, and in that chus we were zochet to the Degalim. The second Inyan, he says, was that is the Inyan that he wanted, that we shouldn't become complacent with the Beis HaMikdash. We shouldn't become used to it, that it shouldn't provide inspiration. What's that? Where do we have something that's similar to that? The Torah HaKadosh. We know the Torah HaKadosh, the more one learns, the more one gets energized, the more one sees. The same thing again. You can learn the same thing again and again and again. Each time you learn it, you see something new. You see a deeper insight. You see more connection. You see more of Elokus. You see more of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's this Inyan that it's mischadish and mischadish and mischadish, like a fresh source of water that's always, always sprouting forth new and more. And that's another one of the Inyan of why Torah is compared to water, because it's continuously mischadish. It's a mayon hanoivea of new, fresh water. And he says that's what the Rabbanon was saying, that, you know, there were five wells, keneged the chamish shechum sheitorah, to remind us that we must always, always continue to be inspired. And when we don't have the Batei Mikdash, the replacement for us is, if we don't have the Batei Mikdash, we still have the first Inyan. The first Inyan is that we've got to remove the Masach HaMavdil between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To what? To his Torah. Because that's where the source is. And Torah for us has to be something that will continuously give us his chadshus. With those two things, being able to remove the Masach HaMavdil and have Torah that's continually mischadish within us, that gives us then this koyach that we accumulate more and more and more of Olam Haba, which is what we said at the beginning we live for. Okay.